Marshall, Sagar, Phil, James, and Emma here. Welcome back to The Realignment. That sounded a little different than normal. It's because we are on vacation this week. Phil is in Orlando. Sagar and I are heading to Miami. We don't know who, what, when, where, and why James and Emma are, the production assistants on the show, but I'm going to assume they're doing something. They are recently graduating from college, so I hope they're also taking vacation as well. So rather than just not publish anything as we've done in the past, we're going to do something a little different. We are pre-recording a recommendations episode with our favorite episodes of the show, books we've liked, and podcasts so that you all could see what we're really up to. We're going to make a special bookshop link for the show, but also let you get to know the team that works on The Realignment a little better, because it's a group effort. We're all really here, and whenever you're listening to the show, it really is a combination of all five of our perspectives. So let's start here. Sagar, how about you kick us off? You don't have to introduce yourself, but let's dive into it. What is your favorite episode of the show and why?
Hey guys, Sagar and Jetty here, a longtime listener, first time caller. Favorite episode is episode 80, Lisa Napoli around CNN. Loved that episode because Marsh and I really just let loose. It was really fun talking about the history of CNN, about media. I think it might have been the first time that we really got some of you guys into thinking about something which isn't explicitly political, thinking about business, which is really what we're all about. Now, in terms of a book, I just finished this book. I'm exclusively revealing this here for the first time. A Voyage Long and Strange is a history of the United States from 1492 until the Jamestown colony in 1620, whatever. So basically everything you know about American history is a lie. And it's crazy. I mean, the first Western settlers in the continental United States, French, they're literally French. And then they were slaughtered by the Spanish. And the Spanish also had a colony in St. Augustine, Florida. There were explorers like Coronado who made it all the way to Kansas. People like DeSoto who literally died on the banks of the Mississippi River an entire generation before the Jamestown people even got here. Plus, there's that whole Roanoke thing. Anyway, didn't know any of this stuff. It was actually recommended by a couple of you who talked to me on Instagram, so thank you very much for that. Highly recommended. It'll be available on our bookshop. And far as a podcast, I have been really enjoying Stratechery, which is a newsletter by Ben Thompson. And what I love that he does is, it's a paid newsletter, by the way, is for people who pay $10 a month or whatever, he releases his newsletter as a podcast. And this is the biggest problem. I'm an audiobook guy. I'm always on the go. I'm like doing something. And just like, frankly, I probably have the time to read the newsletters, but my attention span was fucked long ago. And so I enjoy listening to his newsletter. I do it every day. It's like the best way in order to keep up with what's going on in Silicon Valley, media, tech, and all that. Can't recommend it enough if you guys are looking for a resource.
Actually, Sagar, here's an immediate question that comes to mind. When did you first get into the Explorers beat? Because anyone who follows your Instagram or Twitter will see this theme. It has nothing to do with the realignment. If someone could, we're trying to find a way to produce an episode on this. If someone could email in with a suggestion how we could possibly shoehorn 15th century Spanish exploration into a future-facing show frame, I will give you, I'll Venmo you $10. I don't know why I just said that, but we're going to roll with it. I am now forced by the laws of podcasting keep to it. But Sagar, where does it come from?
I was on vacation a couple of years ago, and I was with my parents, and I was stuck in the car, and I needed a way to avoid them. And so I Googled best nonfiction books of all time. And one of them, on some list somewhere, was the book on Shackleton, Endurance, Shackleton's Incredible Journey. And I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. Like, I was hooked on that book. Then I went down a deep dive on polar exploration. It won't surprise you to learn that there's not that many books on polar exploration. So I finished like all 10 of them that exist in popular discourse, which then evolved into exploration writ large. And yeah, here we are. So that's how it all happened.
The real travesty here is that Sagar's mom and dad are avid listeners of the podcast. Yeah, they will be tremendously insulted by that segment.
They'll remember this. It's when we were driving to Joshua Tree in Las Vegas.
So on to Emma. Emma, it'd be great for you to introduce yourself, and then we could get into your episode, book, podcast recommendations.
Yeah, absolutely. So hi, everyone. My name is Emma. I am graduating with my undergrad in 2 short weeks and getting ready to move to Washington, D.C. I recently accepted a full-time position with American Moment, so I'll be transitioning into that job and, of course, continuing to work with the realignment after that. My podcast recommendation, hands down, would be episode 76 with Matt Stoller on power tech and how to solve wealth gaps. So we released this one, I think last year, 2020, but the topics are still just as relevant today, especially with new discussions on how to solve the wealth gap through our taxes, through our health wealth benefit systems, et cetera. And so in particular, he makes the point that governance is understanding market systems, and he's able to connect this both to Holly and then even to Facebook with Zuckerberg and other individuals like that. And it really puts the conversation, I think it frames it in a really helpful way that was really useful for me in thinking through, like, what does it mean for big tech to actually play a role in our governance and in the way that we think about politics in this new realignment? So if you haven't listened to that episode, or if it's been a while, I highly recommend you going back to listening to that one. All right. So then my book recommendation is Margaret Thatcher, The Authorized Biography by Charles Moore. This is a slow burn read, about 800 pages, part one of everything you could ever want to know about Margaret Thatcher, her political career, her policies, down to the way that she thinks. But what's so phenomenal about this, and I rarely read biographies, so this is one of the first ones that I really invested in, is that Charles Moore had complete access into confidential records that the UK had actually never released before. And he also had the opportunity to interview multiple aides and people throughout Thatcher's life. And she never actually read a copy of it or heard anything about it. So the people that he interviewed and even his look at the documents was something completely unfiltered by any bias by Thatcher. And he does a phenomenal job with it. And so, yeah, I highly recommend that one. It connects well today as she works through race riots that were happening in the UK during her time as prime minister, the war in the Falklands, but also just debates over how the government can help amidst new budgets, as well as like the needs of the working class community. And you really get to see her political philosophy develop throughout the pages of the book as she sort of like takes ownership of what conservatism looks like in her time. Thoroughly enjoyed that read. And then
you sold me. I'm going to buy it.
You really should. I recommend reading it on the weekends, though. So take it like 50 pages at a time, a nice little Saturday by the pool over the summer. If not, you will get burned out very quickly.
What you're forgetting is I don't actually read. It's all audiobooks. So, but I will probably listen to it by a pool.
See, that's perfect. Well, yeah. So this is the selling point. Audible needs to put it on there because it's not there yet. So right now, listeners, you have to do the old school way. Tell Sagar all about it. He'll be more jealous. Yeah. And then my podcast recommendation is The Masculinist by Aaron Wren. So this one is a little bit off the beaten path, not one that most listeners have probably heard of, but one that I have thoroughly enjoyed as of late. So his episodes are concise, about 20 to 30 minutes each, and very easy to listen to, and yet highly informative about matters of culture, religion in the United States, and even conservative politics. So I think recently he released like a 10-week series on the history and origins of conservatism in the United States. And so he broke down books like George Nash's The Conservative Intellectual Movement Since 1945 and a few other thick political histories that you might not have the time or interest to read on your own, but would actually benefit greatly to learn about. And so like, regardless of what side you find yourself on the political aisle, this actually brings like a really in-depth understanding of how conservatism has played a role and shaped our current political conversations. So I highly recommend that one. It's something I enjoy listening to on my lunch breaks, so I can multitask. I don't have to worry that I'm going to miss a key part of the episode, but I genuinely learn something each time that I enjoy talking about with coworkers or with friends as I go throughout the day. And let's be honest, his episodes are just really fun. He has one called The Republican Party Hates Your Guts and talks about working class challenges. And there's no way you can't appreciate that.
I think that's great. The best part of your bit here, Emma, was you both selling, but then losing the sale of a book to Sagar due to the lack of Audible. So here's a question for you. We get so much incoming from college students or even high schoolers who want to come to DC. So what I'm curious about is, what is exciting to you about coming here summer 2021?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a complete policy wonk and actually just find these conversations on big tech and current movements in family policy to be really interesting. And so for me, I can't think of a better place to actually find friends and working environments where I can have these conversations and potentially do something good to contribute to it. They aren't conversations that are typical in a lot of the circles that I'm in right now. And so I think just the idea of getting to be immersed in a community that cares about these things, but also like has really good values and cares about character and virtue formation, and isn't just out to like gain a bunch of power and make their name promoted, but actually wants to do something good with other people. That's incredibly exciting to me. So I think that's the part that I'm looking forward to the most. But once again, complete policy wonk. So this is going to be maybe a nerdier answer than other people are interested in.
Right on.
Emma, I think we and the entire audience are hoping you can keep your sunny optimism. This is the first time in a long time I've heard someone describe the DC center right space as virtuous and dedicated towards things.
Well, okay.
You should introduce those people to me when you get here. I've lived here for 10 years.
Some people care about it. Original plug to the people I'm working with, American Moment. They're on the right track. We'll see about everyone else.
Right on.
All right, great. So let's do you, Phil.
Cool. I'll say my favorite episode. This is tough for me. I would say I maybe listened to the most realignment of anybody ever. There may be a dedicated fan that's, which I'm worried for.
No, because you listen to it raw and uncut.
Yeah,
that's why,
raw and uncut really during the recording, then a whole way through, then a bunch of times just to make sure I didn't miss anything. So I've listened to hundreds of episodes of The Realignment. So this was tough. No, I honestly, the one that was I find the most fun was episode 60 with Andrew Schultz. One, it was just fun to have a comedian on, like switch things up a little bit. It was fun to edit as well. But I actually just really liked the way that he framed kind of the creator and hustle economy and his examination of it. And kind of how he's created and insulated himself from the dangers of corporations and the danger, not necessarily government, but he danced with the idea of free speech and how he's, you know, built up this audience completely and individually, and doesn't need the corporations, doesn't need the backing. And I think that's just a really interesting way to look at business and the hustle economy right now, because when you're getting into free speech, you're assuring your protection not just from government but from corporate power. We're seeing deplatforming, canceling, all these kinds of things. But when you have an audience that's dedicated to you no matter what you say, it's a pretty special thing. So I thought that was a really cool frame and hadn't really thought about it that way. I will say the most helpful frame of thinking that I've learned from The Realignment has to come from Ross Douthat and the Decadence Society. Like, I have seen so much of my political thought and just the way that I see the world and this country especially because of the Decadence Society. I think we're just the decadence is everywhere.
We're decadent.
we are decadent. Like, when I see things that are trending and stuff that just the absolute outrage culture that's on social media and everywhere, I'm like, this is what we're pissed off about.
I know.
It's such a waste of our time. And we're just battling over shit that does not matter. And nobody in any other country that actually has real problems would have any time to think about or concern themselves with. I just had to shout out that idea because it's just completely changed the way I think about things. When it comes to book, this was easy. I will take any chance to shout out Dune. I've become essentially a Dune evangelist at this point. You guys have heard me bring up Dune multiple times. I couldn't turn down an opportunity to shout it out to this many people. And the movie's coming out. No, it's a great space opera from the 70s. It was before, you know, if you like
60s.
Star Wars, is it the 60s?
You're going to flex about fiction and then get the dates wrong. That's pretty embarrassing.
I'm going to flex about being an evangelist on this and then get the dates wrong. No, it's before Star Wars. People think Star Wars is cool. They probably stole a lot from Dune. It's just a great space opera. It deals with politics, religion, power structures. fantastic, super deep, super complex world building. You can just totally get lost in it. When you are sick of the decadent society that surrounds you, you can just escape into the world of Dune. Favorite podcast? I listen to a ton of these. I edit a ton of these. One of my favorites is The End of the World with Josh Clark. It's a limited series. I think there's only 10 or 12 episodes. And every episode talks about a different way that the world could end. So this was really fascinating because I was going through it. And one of the episodes was about global pandemics I probably listened to it 3 months before COVID. And it was talking to all these scientists and all these labs around the U.S. how we are not ready for this kind of thing. So it was very prescient in that way, but talks about, you know, not just these kinds of disasters, natural disasters, nuclear war, how the whole world, you know, could be just an alternate dimension, or, you know, just all these different philosophies of how the world could end and how fragile really society is. So it's only 10 or 12 episodes, but every single one is fascinating. And they talk to a bunch of experts, so you learn a lot. I wish they did another season.
Here's the most immediate question, Phil. Considering Dune, Warner, are you an HBO Max subscriber?
Yes.
With the 30-day window.
I'm there, but I'm going to go in theaters. I'm all for awesome. Watching at home, but for Dune, they deserve my money.
I watched Wonder Woman 1984. It was not a great movie, but separate from that, I did not enjoy doing it at home. I hate when people during the COVID thing were poo-pooing movie theaters and talking about even getting, I don't care if I have a 60-inch plasma screen, 3D bullshit contraption. I don't care. I want to go back to a movie theater. And I'm so pumped for that. When I was first visiting New York, I saw people near a movie theater and it was legitimately really exciting. That's not something that I emotionally thought I'd feel after staring at a screen. But yeah, I hope we could all be back in that soon.
Same. I'll be there for Dune.
All right, James, who are you and what are your things?
I'm James. I've been with the Realignment since September. Some of you have reached out to me on social media before. And
I have to interrupt. James, what do they ask you?
Can everyone stop doing that, first of all? Can everyone leave James alone?
No, it's fine. I don't mind. People give me recommendations, ask me about the show. All types of things. And I find that to be really cool. I guess I'm not that big on Twitter yet, so I'm not tired of fans reaching out. But yeah, so I go to Notre Dame right now. I'm a senior and I'm about to graduate, just like Emma. And I'm not fully sure what I'm going to be doing next year yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing where my life takes me. And then when it comes to the realignment episodes, I'm going to recommend one that came out right before I started. The Conservative Case for Labor Unions with Orrin Cass, episode 53. Orrin runs the American Compass, a really dynamic new conservative think tank. And in this episode, Orrin basically discussed all of the debates going on between different parties on the right. And he mentioned how basically, even though labor unions historically have been viewed as a left-wing institution, there is a conservative case to be made for labor unions amongst the realignment right. And basically, Orrin explains that labor unions are not only a civic institution, which conservatives historically have preferred to government regulation, but they also provide workers, when they function correctly, with solidarity, bargaining power, representation, and a community that they can be a part of. So I was really excited when that episode came out, and I think that it's still one of the best ones we've had so far. And when it comes to books, kind of on a similar theme, The New Class War by Michael Lind, who is a favorite of this show. I was actually reading the book when Michael Lind came on here last, and I could not recommend that enough. Just the in-depth analysis he gives of the class dynamics today, not only in the United States, but basically across the entire Western world, and why there's been these populist revolts with Trump, with Brexit, and with just all of the anger that ordinary people seem to be feeling right now. Michael Lind explains it really well, not only from a class perspective, but he also provides a history and he provides a solution to the problems facing countries in the Western world. So if you've not read that, or if you've not heard Sagar or Marshall recommend it before. I'm once again recommending The New Class War by Michael Lind. And for podcasts, I would say that the Conversations with Coleman podcast with Coleman Hughes is a podcast that I really liked over the years because Coleman is only a couple years older than me, I think. He's a young writer with the Manhattan Institute. He's pretty heterodox and he's very open to free speech and debate with people from Noam Chomsky all the way on the extreme left to Megyn Kelly, who's a very boomer type conservative Fox News past, obviously. So yeah, Coleman provides a unique perspective on crime, race, culture, and just everything that's going on in Western society right now. And it's really exciting because Coleman seems to be one of the few people left in the younger generations who's still got a good head on his shoulders. So it's definitely a source of inspiration for me as well, seeing what Coleman's done. So yeah, I'd recommend Conversations with Coleman and just everything else that Coleman Hughes has written for City Journal, which is the Manhattan Institute's publication.
That's awesome. So James, the question is similar to Emma's. You're figuring out what you're doing next, but where do you want to end up? I know you're from New York. I just moved there. New York City's great. DC is also, despite our jokes, also a great place too. Like, where are you thinking about ending up in case people who are listening are thinking about hiring or taking people on, stuff like that?
Yeah, so I'm open to going pretty much anywhere. I've been living in South Bend for the last 4 years, and I've actually really enjoyed it for all of the coastal elite snickering at the Midwest. South Bend has definitely been a fun place to be. So I'm just really open to trying out anything new. Obviously, I'm from New York, so I have that familiarity with New York and big cities in general, but I'm comfortable living almost anywhere as long as there's a strong community of people and I feel like I'm doing something worthwhile.
It's awesome. Very well said, man. Last but not least, me. My favorite episode was the one I recently did of Frank DiStefano. I'm not just saying this because I interviewed him, but because that was a total random chance. I mean, Frank doesn't have a big social media profile. The book doesn't have an Audible. And I just had randomly bought it because it had the word realignment in it a few weeks before we launched the podcast. And I finally got around to reading. I was like, wait, like, this is brilliant. Let me book this guy. Sagar's out of town. So whatever, we just need to publish something. And that has turned out to be one of our top performing episodes ever, because that really showed me that this is an audience of people that is deeply interested in the ideas that we're focused on. And that the path to success for us is going to be finding more Franks, having more conversations like that, and not just trying to book big names to have generic conversations you could hear elsewhere. So I just loved it. And I'll also say that his articulation of what a realignment is, but also how the parties are failing, how they're not having any issues, was just better articulated than anything Sagar or I have ever said. So it was just remarkable, and we're going to do more stuff with him soon. So I'm really excited about that. On to books. I actually just recently did a book called How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, The Past, Present, and Future of a Multi-Billion Dollar Franchise. It's really interesting because it came out in 2014. So it was released just after the sale of Star Wars from Lucasfilm under George Lucas to Disney, obviously. And that's fascinating because books really written on this ends on this high note. And I think most Star Wars fans in the audience will note that aside from Rogue One and the television features of Star Wars, so the Clone Wars TV show, the Rebels TV show, obviously The Mandalorian, there haven't been that many promising things to come from the Disney acquisition. So it's just really interesting to think about that. But then going into the past, it's fascinating to learn about Star Wars and George Lucas in the context of the 60s and 70s, to learn about how Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers in the 26th century, these like serials from the 1930s, how they influenced Star Wars, how, to Phil's point, how Dune actually influenced Star Wars, how the fact that Tatooine is a desert planet and there's moisture farming that probably was cribbed from Frank Herbert and Dune, how all these little decisions that you don't think really matter that much, everything from the names of the characters to the existence of the planets, they all were just sort of arbitrary and came out of George Lucas's mind. So that was really fascinating. And then the part that's really not fascinating, is just pretty tragic, is learning just how terrible the process that created the prequels were. Obviously, that's a cliche to dunk on them, but it really means something. You know, Sagar, I actually just solved this. here's what we do. I think on our birthday weeks, we can do the special episodes that we want to do. Because I'm realizing I want to do a Star Wars episode. It's not political. I'm not going to even bother. Right. It's whatever. And if you want to do the week of 4/21/2022 exploration episode, we're going
to
do it.
So I have to wait a whole year.
Chris Taylor, author of the book, I'm coming for you. We're going to do an episode. It's going to go for 5 hours. It will probably lose us some subscribers, but we're going to make it happen. James and Emma look so pumped right now. You can't see their faces. Then I will go into podcast recommendation. This is also a cliche because it's pretty popular, but I love Pivot with Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway. Honestly, it's not the most consistent show. You can definitely tell the weeks that Scott, who's been on the show, and Kara are phoning it in. There's a funny audience review where someone said, sometimes it's just like they read Wall Street Journal headlines and just say yay or nay. And that's just it. And you can really tell those weeks. But the reason why I love it is that they have the best chemistry. And sorry, I think you'll back me up about this. They have the best chemistry of any two people who genuinely are deeply interesting and experienced their own backgrounds of any sort of space. So they are people who could turn in C-plus level content, yet still make it really good and really funny and consistent. And I just love that. And obviously they've been doing this for 20 plus years, so I'm not expecting Sagar to keep it at this level. But as we go deeper and deeper and deeper and get to this, hopefully we can get to at least a solid B-plus in that context.
You'll get there.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Well, that's all she wrote. Thank you for tuning in, everyone who made it this far. We are going to have a bookshop link with everything that was recommended. And also be sure to check this week's Substack newsletter, where we will also have the listing of the episodes and the books and all the recommendations. And just from Phil Sagar and I, of course, like huge congrats to James and Emma for graduating. Emma is social media agnostic, as far as I understand, but feel free to hop into James's DMs and his Twitter bio photo, which is not him, and say hi to him.
Well, I actually changed it to a photo of me.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
Yeah.
Yeah, good
for
you.
Who was that? Who was the person that you were featured?
That was a mugshot of Johnny Cash, the country singer.
Nice. Okay, we're just going
to... Kind of an all-American type person, yes. So I figured... People would like that picture.
True. You guys can find me on LinkedIn. That's the one social media I appreciate. So anytime I talk about big tech, there's some obvious bias happening there. But yeah, LinkedIn is the way to go.
You learn more about James and Emma's personalities by that exchange than anything else we could possibly offer. But yeah, everyone, we've got some huge guests coming up next week. We are not going to spoil them, but let's just say we'll have a lot of incoming on all sides from this, but we're really excited, and we will see you all next time.